There's an interesting Gemara in Baba Basra in Perakat Svina, one of those enigmatic Gemaras. It's a sugya where there's many stories that are very hard to understand. And Rabbi Baba Chama says, one day we were traveling on a ship, and of course when you travel by ship, it's difficult. You feel you can never put your legs down anywhere solid. And but they're traveling, and after some time we saw an island, and everyone on the boat was excited, an island somewhere to stretch your legs, to walk around a bit. What they didn't realize was that in truth it wasn't an island at all. It was a fish, and the fish had its back out the water and had it that way for a very long time, and eventually sand had blown by and settled, and grass had begun to grow on the back of the fish. So we pulled up and we climbed out of the boat and we settled down. We had a walk, we had a nice time at Rabbi Baba Chama, and then came lunchtime. It came time for lunch, and we took the opportunity to cook ourselves lunch. And as the fire got too warm, the fish said, "Hey, this is not what I expected. It's one thing you walk on me, but you're not going to roast me alive." And so the fish flipped over and elabed in the car of a sphincter. Was it not for the fact that the boat was still very close by, Havasavinon, we would have drowned. Ad kan amaisa. Obviously the question is what this means, what Chazal telling us, he's going to ship, and he thought it was an island. Many pirushim, and I once had a very beautiful pirush from Ramesh Shapiro, very poshut of all, it's a very simple idea, but a beautiful pshat in the Gemara. Before we get there though, there's another sugya I'd like to deal with, and from that we'll get back eventually to the fish. There's a pasuk we say quite regularly, L'Hashem ha'aretz u'mloya teveil v'yeishvevo. L'Hashem ha'aretz u'mloya, the world and everything within it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Teveil, the universe, the teveil v'yeishvevo, and all those who live in it. Why? Ki, because Hu al yamim yasodot, he established it on the rivers, on the seas, al nahoras, and on the rivers. The Yechonah, now he set it up. What's the connection? What do the rivers and the seas have to do with the fact that Lashem ha'aretz u'maloya? What's the key? Because there's rivers and seas, therefore Lashem ha'aretz u'maloya. What's the pashut pshat in that pasuk? So we have two shailas. Get back to the fish and to understand the connection between Lashem Haaretz and Loya and Kihu Al Yamim Yesodah. It's a very poshut idea in that pasuk, Lashem Haaretz and Loya, that we all know. And by having a look at the poshut idea of Lashem Haaretz and Loya, we'll meet up with something that can help us understand L'Chaira, the Mahalach of Al Yamim Yesodah. The Gemara in Brachos, famous Gemara. Gemara, Amar Levi, Levi Asira, Levi Rami. What's chat? We've got two psukim that seem to contradict each other. On the one hand, it says Lashem Haaretz Umloya, that the world and everything within it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see from the Gemara there, means that it's Shayach Ligavoya, it's something that's Shayach only for use for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake, just like Kodshin. Something that's been muktish l'shamayim, you can only use for tzorchei shamayim. You can't use for your own use. It's a stira. If it's l'Hashem, then it's not l'chem. Kodshim that is l'Hashem can't be used by normal people. On the other hand, shiduch shamayim shamayim l'Hashem, the oretz not sam livnei odom. That olam hazeh, this world, is not l'Hashem fakert. It's not sam livnei odom. It's given for the use of human beings. For the Gemara of Levi Rami, there's a stira. If we really know what it means when we say La Hashem, then it can't be Haaretz Nosan Livnei Adam. And for the Gemara, Kan Kodem Bracha, Kan Le'acha Bracha, Kodem Bracha before person made the Bracha, of course, Hashem Haaretz Nosan Livnei Adam, Hashem. After the Bracha, then Haaretz Nosan Livnei Adam. When we meet such a drasha, we sometimes think that what's happening is really there's Taka, good stira, it's a contradiction. Taka doesn't make sense, so we've got to find the issues and sort of squeeze something out. That here I must be talking about Kodem Bracha, here I must be talking about Acha Bracha. The emphasis is much more in the Gemara. The Haaretz Nosan Livnei Adam. When there is a Nesina, when the person who's utilizing that object recognizes that there's an asinah, recognizes that it is not his own, that it's something that Ribbono Shel'olam has given him to use, then there stops being a stira between LaHashem and Ha'aretz Nosam. If the reason why we're using it is because we're using it L'Tzorchi Gavaya, we are Avdei Hashem, we take it as a matana mimenu, then by taking it, by using it, we are recognizing the Ribbono Shel'olam when we do that. When we talk about the eating something, make a bracha, and we eat something, we're not just saying, okay, I'm taking permission. It's more than permission. It changes my relationship with that piece of food. It's not mine, it's not my own, something that I can use regardless of any other cheshbonos. No, it's mine that was given to me by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to use for a purpose. And once I'm taking it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then by definition, if I recognize that, I will only use it for the right reason. The bracha becomes a way to be mekadosh le'achila, to raise it to a level that it's not mine, I'm not on my own. It's a whole different aesis. We all know the story with the Litvak and the Chassid and the Chassid Shishtibol, and after davening Kut they take out a bronfen and a lekach, and they find a yotzeit for some reason to have a lechaim. And the Litvak says, "You guys, you're always drinking lechaim." And the Chassid says, "Very pashut. Says by you make a bracha in order to eat. We eat in order to make a bracha. So Mela, for you need." You better be holding my drinking lechayim. So no, you need a bit of permission from the Ribbono Shel'olam. So you want to take a drink. By us, Shatid Mavil, we want to say a bracha to the Ribbono Shel'olam, want to thank him. Oh, we have to have something for. So maybe we find the lechayim to do it. Good. Mavil took the liter of trying to find his bag. If that's the case, you could use water. You don't need a bronfen. No. Oh, it's Zoya. That boy said, somebody who only drinks in order to make a bracha to come to my bronfen. It's an under asit, because then the truth is the taki comes to Mabronfen. Because the more he enjoys it, the better the bracha, the more shevach v'edah. The more opportunity you have, the more ilam hazi you have, automatically if it's var, it's not san livnei adam. It's being taken as a gift that's granted, as an opportunity that's been given in order to use it. So the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, the better you become. Now I'm not going to spend the rest of the shit between the liftback and the chassid. But the two concepts of somebody who takes in Yonah Ulam Hazar as things that are his own, detached from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now this is mine, I do what I want with that. One attitude towards life, towards Yonah Ulam Hazar. The other attitude towards life, which is, Hashem has given me, granted me these gifts because he has a reason for it, because he cares for me, because he wants me to do something with it, then automatically, the more the person gets, the more he feels pushed to achieve. In the first instance, Olam Hazeh weighs you down, becomes a distraction. Instead of something that directs you towards Avodah, something takes you away from Avodah, because we're constantly running after those in Yonah Olam Hazeh. If we have the attitude of Ares Nosan Livnei Adam, then every time we're given something, we ask, hey, what's this for? What am I meant to achieve with this? The more he gives us, the more we have to achieve. A completely different relationship with Kol Tzorchei Olam Hazeh. Drag you down, or lifts you up. So Mamela, we understand that Lashem Haaretz Umloya and Haaretz Nosan Livnei Adam is not a stira at all, it's Shayach both. Yeah. And Mela, depending on which type of category we fit in, will be how much bracha we get. If we're in the first category, the Revenge must be very, very careful how much he gives us, because he could wreck our lives, he could make us distract us from the Yonah Olam Hazeh, from all our avodah. And if we're the second type of person, the more he gives us, the better we'll become. That's one inyan, an introduction to Aneiru Digesuya. An area where this is symbolized, where we see this bechush, the concept of, do I have something of my own? Do I have my own existence? And the Ribbono Shel'olam is outside, and the question is whether I'm going to relate him or not. Or the deeper, proper understanding of the Bria, which is the realization that I don't really have my own existence. It's all being Nosan Livnei Adam, all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think the most extreme illustration of this is an interesting Lashon of Chazal. Why are Chazal called Ivrim? Why are we called the Am Ivrim? Ivri Onoichi? Where does the Lashon Ivrim come from? So there's many Pshatim, the sons of Eva, or me'eva hana, or because Avraham me'eva echad v'chalo'ilo me'eva racher, Klal Yisrael on one side, Avraham Avinu on one side, all the world on the other side. Another chazal, Ivrim al she'ovru yam. I haven't seen this, Rav Moshe quoted this. Why are we called Ivrim? We are called Ivrim because we were over, because we went through the Yamsuf. Hamavir bonov then Gizre Yamsuf. So if you're over Yamsuf, you become an Ivri. What does that mean? If passing through the Yamsuf didn't completely change who a Yid was, then you wouldn't call them Ivrim al she'ovru yam more than Monim al she'ochlu man. Or Be'erim al Sheshafu Me'be'er. There's so many miracles. Maybe we should be called Anonim because we had Anonim in the Midbar. It's one of the Nisim the Rebbein Shlom did for us. Ivrim al She'ovru Yam. Very interesting thing. Do you ever wonder about this? V'yom HaShlishi Shomayta Bereishis. What happens on the third day? Pasuk says Yikavu Hamayim El Mokim Echad V'Seiroi Hayabosha. So picture it. You've got a globe. And that globe is covered with a layer of water. There was no dry land. It was completely covered with water. The quantity of water there means, by definition, that the seas and all the indentations in the planet are all full. Besides for the seas and every other loch and hole in the Bria being full, there is another layer of water all the way around the planet. Zot the Rebbeinu Shleilam, Yikavu Hamayim El Mokim Echod. Let all the waters gather in the sea. Would that help? What would happen if you gathered the waters in the sea? They would have to just pile up high, like Badi Yazim. Where did the water go? The Emesis, Chazal, the Medrash, often ask the Kasha. You can have a Kli rake on, you have an empty Kli and a Kli Mali and a full Kli. You can pour from a full Kli into the empty Kli. But can you pour from a full Kli into a full Kli? How'd that happen? What was Pshat? Zot the Medrash, Mikan Shoya Mu'at Hamachsika Samaruba. It was a nest of Mu'at Hamachsika Samaruba. If you ever want to think about a nest that is beyond our comprehension, it's Mu'at Hamachsika Samaruba. It's something that the human mind can't comprehend. What do you mean it takes up less space than it takes up? It's not just that it naturally fills the whole world and covers it. A nest makes it take up less space than it should. So something we meet, you meet in Gemara, we actually meet in Davening. The Gemara talks about Hashem Sofal Ayom, the Rebbeinu put the sand, sets the sand as a border to the sea. The Gemara talks about the fact that Hashem doesn't let the sea spread and flood. And the Medrash there says that one of the things we live in constant fear of is the realization that naturally the waters of the world could and should flood us. But emes, the water, if they're allowed naturally to fill the space that they really occupy, as they did the Shad Night of Bereishis, were back to a complete flood. It happened once. That was Yimei Noach. B'Yimei Noach, the Medrash, what happened was the Rebbeinu retracted the Naima of Yikavu HaMayim, and the Mela, the Olam, was Mole Mayim. The waters, it's not just that all the clouds came down, all the waters, Itaka took up more space at that Medrash. There's a Yira, not the Medrash, there's a fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is born from the fact that we realize that this world, the Etzem, is a world like it was Koidim Yom HaShlishi. It's a world that has no space, has no area. The planet is there, the floor is there, but there's no space for anybody else because really, naturally, it's covered with water. There's a nest midi that keeps the waters in their place, and that's what holds everything there. And Mu'at HaMastik Samaruba. The Ramesh of Shaf Kriyas Yamsuf. The Pasuk says that the waters split. Where did they go to? Where did the waters go? It doesn't say that the walls went higher. The waters split. Split, so when you split, where did they go? Where did that water go? The walls hardened. Yes, but where did that water, of those, the space that they walked in, where did that go? Mu'at HaMastik HaSamaruba again. That incredible mess, that incomprehensible mess, a nest of Mu'at HaMachzik Es HaMeruba. If you want to be Matai, Mu'at HaMachzik Es HaMeruba, we know the Yoren was an example of something that's mut she'ino mut hamachtik samarubin. The Yoren was 10, Kodesh Kodashim was 30. So if you measured from one side of Kodesh Kodashim to the other, there was 30. If you measured from one side of the Yoren to the other, there was how much? No, not min hamizdan. Must be 15. And from the other side, the Yoren was also 15. Oren einu min hamizdan. You measured the Oren, you got 10. Either side, you got 15. So 30 plus 10 equals 30. Somebody once asked me, what would happen if there was a line of people standing from one side of the Oren, of the Kodesh Kodashim to the other? What would it look like? How many of them would be in front of the Oren? Just blows the mind thinking about it. It's not, it's something we can't imagine. It doesn't, it's just beyond our comprehension. That means when you walk through the Gizrei Yam Suf and you ask yourself, where am I? There is no answer. Al Pi Teva, there is no mokim for that existence. You're walking in a mokim that by definition is ness. Al Pi Teva, you're completely flooded. Ivrim Al She'ovru Yam. When a Yid walks through Yam Suf, when a Yid goes through a space that he knows Al Pi Teva Ha'olam does not exist, then he suddenly realizes, I don't have a kium be'etzem. Intrinsically, we don't have any mokum, we don't have any kium. What do we get a kium from? Only from this, only from this galus, only from that Kodesh Baruch Hu. You've changed. That person has become a different person. Ivrim al she'ovruyam. If we go back to the taich of Vashem ha'aretz umloya, or ha'aretz nosam livnei odom, there's no deeper experience of nosam livnei odom than realizing that it's not just that he gives me my money, my parnasa, my house, my car, my children, and maybe even my gezunt, but that there's just no, I just don't have a place to exist. There is nowhere to be without Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That experience changed them. Or the emissaries, having been through Yam Suf, a person could stop and think, if that's what happened in Yam Suf, then it's not just when I'm in the Yam Suf then. Al Pi Teva, there is no mokim, there is no space on this planet. It's a constant net that keeps this olam shaykh to Bnei Adam. Wherever I am, I ought to have that experience of realizing whether I'm b'yam or b'yabosha, there's a b'yabosha olam. It's his. Going back to the pasuk, you want to get to the deepest tfisa of Lashem Ha'aretz Umaloya. We split Lashem Ha'aretz means the Oretz, means the physical land. The earth is Hashem. What's Maloya? The space, everything that fills it. Tevel v'yoshvevo. Where is that? Where do you see that? Ki hu al yamim yesoda. Because it's meyutad on yamim and mechinin on the horos. Because he's constantly keeping those waters there. L'roika ha'aretz al amayim. Every morning we make a bracha. L'roika ha'aretz al amayim. Why don't we just go through all Shivas Yimei Bereishis and thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for all the things he did? Because this is a nest smidi miteva dvarim be'atzmon, there would be no space. L'roika ha'aretz al amayim. The Ribbono Shel Olam holds aretz, and that the mayim should not flood aretz. Edazoi Hashem aretz umloya tevil v'yoshveva. And the emes is that this struggle between seeing in Yonah Elam Hazar as something that is intrinsically ours, and therefore because it belongs to us, is our opportunity, or the opposite, or it's not standard Ne'odom, seeing that it's an opportunity that is mechayev us, that forces us to go further. Interestingly enough, works as a little bit of a cycle. And you know, if you're eventually in Kivyachol, you don't know, what do you do with this guy? Do you give him a shefa, or do you not give him a shefa? Because Baruch Hu gives a person a shefa of bracha, and at first, when we get a shefa, we're grateful, because we're not used to it. We're grateful. When we're grateful, we say nosam. When we say nosam, it's mechayev us to go further. So we get opportunities, and we utilize them for kedusha. But the more we get used to what we have, the more we feel Nagyali, it's kumtmir. I say kumtmir, so it's not a nosan. The moment it's not a nosan, it's not a machayev. If it's not a mechayev, then it's mine. Once it's mine, it becomes a distraction. It becomes a distraction, so the Rebbeinu has to take it away from me. It takes it away from me, and further, I don't have what I can, I don't have those opportunities to serve the Rebbeinu. So I drop, I'm distant, I don't have the capabilities of the Rebbeinu. Okay, I better give him some more. Now that he gives me some more, I take it as a loss. Taking it as a loss, it's positive. If I allow myself to slip again, he has to take it away. It's not so noticeable, this cycle, on a personal level. But on a national level, Klal Yisrael, as an ummah, as a nation, we see this clearly. Right through Golos, we've had this experience all the time. On the one hand, we go to a country, and the Rebbeinu Shlom makes us be Meitzachein Beinayim, and we have years of opportunity, and it goes on, sometimes 50 years, sometimes 100 years, sometimes 200 years. And we settle down, and the Jews become the most powerful, richest people in the country, and we have a shefa of brocha, and with tremendous opportunity. And we're grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us that opportunity. And therefore, we respond in kind, and we build yeshivas, and we build Bate Knesset, and everything's built up, and you start seeing a thriving ruach of Yiddishkeit. Becomes a golden era. But the more settled, the more established we become, the more we begin to take it for granted. When we take it for granted, and it's not a notan, then it's not b'chayev us anything. This is just the way the world is. Well, if this is natural, and we deserve it, then it slowly becomes a distraction. We're not building Torah anymore. We've stopped building. It's all there. Yeshivas are there. Shuls are there. This was a situation all over, all the way through history, not just today. That was a natural phenomenon. Once you've got settled down, there wasn't this ruach. We've got to build. We've got to create. We've got to help. Look at the opportunity we've been given. Let's do something. No. This is life. We have it all. If we have it all, there's no mechayev. There's no mechayev to settle down. The moment you settle down, every single drop of Olam Hazeh, instead of becoming a dry likdusha, becomes something that pulls us down into Nyon Olam Hazeh. And the Rebbeinu Shlom gives us a chance. So maybe the Cholzos, we hope that they'll wake up. If we do, fine. If we don't, then finally he's got to give a major clap. Take it all away. Take it all away. Send us into Golos. And once we're out there in Golos, we realize we have nothing. And when we get to a new place, we say, oh, Baruch Hashem. And two things happen. On the one hand, there's a nosan, there's a tremendous deep gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything he's given us. On the other hand, we realize there's devastation, there's nothing, we don't have anything. The complacency gives way to an urgency, and when we have that urgency, Klal Yisrael naturally become builders and communities start to thrive. And this cycle, as the Meshech Chochma says in Chukosah, everybody's seen that Meshech Chochma, this cycle is a seder that keeps going on right through history. And the emissaries, we saw it most powerfully in our day, where even in Europe, many places in Europe were very settled, and it had brought a certain complacency, a certain feeling that we have everything we need. The upheaval of World War I changed that to a large extent, but there was a feeling that we're there. There wasn't the urgency, the need to build yeshivas, to build mosques. And then Rahman al-Islam, and the terrible destruction of the Holocaust, everything was gone. And when you look back at those who came here after the war, to America after the war, to Eretz Yisrael after the war, they were burning with a feeling we've got to rebuild. And the gratitude that they had for any opportunity, the gratitude they had to the countries that took them in, the gratitude to have a home, to have a roof above their head, was a whole different yachas to all in Yon Olam Hazeh. That lasted until so many issues, loads of them learning, wonderful, so many people learning, everything's fine, and we slip. The other says, in this week's Sedra, that the Sukkim, just after Shani, that say this so clearly, after Bochaltu, Savata, Verakas, Shamanakechos, of the Pasuk, Hishamlecha, Pentishkachas, Shamanakecho, Lazul Tishmer, Mitzvot, Vechulu, Pentoichal, the Savata, or Vatim Tavim, Tivnevi, or Shabto, Zob Yerbelecho, the Rom, the Vavachov Shachachta, the classic. The word koichi v'otzim yodi stand in contrast to haaretz nosan livnei adam. If it's koichi v'otzim yodi, if it's mine, I can do with it whatever I want. If it's nosan livnei adam, taker, that Ulam Hazegufa is Mechayev to respond and to give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as we can. And that's why historically that Ramosha, what really saved the Yid was the word Logur Ba'aretz Bonu. We didn't come to settle, we came just to live, just to sojourn, just to move through, just like that God who prays us in the Eretz Yisrael. When we came to land Logur, then whatever they gave us, we appreciated. We felt the urgency, we needed to build, things weren't comfortable. The moment we came to land and we got those words, Logur Ba'aretz Bonu, the moment we got to settle, that itself destroyed us. What ruined us? Being settled. Which is why it came at the height of comfort in Spain, in Germany, in all these places it came. The more comfortable you get, the worse you are. We forget that really we're the Nayim. Zot Rabbi Baba Chona, Tamachas Havad Lishinta. I was once in a ship. A ship is a place that you cannot exist. You're really the Yam. You don't have any mokum. Ramosha Paskins, that's the vault of a... That's why you say Gomel after a trip in the sea. Because were it not for the ship, you wouldn't be able to survive. We don't naturally have survival. It's the Rebbeinu Shlom, it's the Arvus, it's the Svinish of Torah that keeps us alive. It's the Remiza, the Tevus Noach, which is Mu'atamastik Samaru, but it's the Koyach of Torah that keeps us alive. If we for one moment forget that and dare to step out the Yaboshah and think we have dry land, we're in trouble. It's risky. Think you're settled, you're not settled. But the moment Klal Yisrael dares to begin cooking lunch, oh, want to cook lunch, das shenish, that itself, the lunch itself, the cooking itself, the settling itself, is what flips the ship round, and only those, the fish round, only those who are close enough to get back into the ship, recognize that they shouldn't lose track of the fact that really we don't have existence, we're not connected to Torah, are those who will be saved, and Ezra Hashem, we should deserve the revenge, save us from all our sorrows, and we should manage to navigate this goddess as we should.